Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, March 5th. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading, again in the Big Book, we're on Bill's Story, page 7, the third paragraph down, and it begins with, "But it was not," and it ends with, "To the undertaker or the asylum," and the comments are on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 steps, Jan L., the 12 traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text are Liz A., Dawn B., and Shelley E. The share ID for Monday, March 4th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,191. That's 21191. And for this morning's meeting, March 5th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,193. That's 21193. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and the announcements person is Robin P. And thank you all for your service this month. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jan L. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jan L. from Florida. And these are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Well, thank you very much, Jan L., and I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. Joanne. Thank you so much, Mo. I love hearing your voice. And thank you and welcome to the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering one day at a time. I'm working on my recovery. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lease problems of money, property, and prestige, divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 again to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Bill's story on page 7, the third paragraph down. It begins with, but it was not, and it ends with, to the undertaker or the asylum. And I will now ask Liz A. to begin reading for us. Thank you, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. This is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater for today in Southern California. Thank you for your service and everyone doing service on the line. But it was not. So the frightful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. My weary and despairing wife was informed that it would all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I would develop a wet brain, perhaps within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. So the first four words, but it was not, to me, well, it refers to the previous sentence, which said that self-knowledge was the answer. Bill, you know, had gone to the hospital, and Dr. Soakworth had explained to him the nature of the illness being an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And so he thinks, eureka, you know, now I know. And I thought that if I went to enough of Harlan's meetings and I read every book and I took lots of notes, that just knowing that I had an allergy to my alcoholic foods, that that would stop me. But it didn't. And I kept on relapsing. And the interesting thing is I had been in, quote, remission from this disease for over 30 years. And the minute that I started eating these foods, it got worse and worse. And each time I relapsed, it was worse. It took me longer to get abstinent again, and my binges got worse. And you know, here it says that he would end up with heart failure or a wet brain, which means a kind of dementia due to B1 deficiency. Well, surely, you know, with me, I thought, I know I'm going to end up being huge and I'm not going to be able to get out of the house and paramedics are going to have to come get me. And I felt like I was insane, losing my mind, just like a wet brain. And in my other program, they say we have three options: jails, institutions, or death. And that's what I would have ended up with. I was done. And it wasn't until I surrendered my food plan, my thoughts, and my actions to my God, as I understand him, that he was able to take this disease from me and replace it with love for him and love for my fellow travelers. And it's such a miracle, and I am just so grateful, incredibly grateful. And I never want to forget where I come from. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Mo.
Yeah, thank you very much, Liz, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody who's getting on the line now, we are on page 7 in Bill's story, the third paragraph down. But it was not, and it ends with, give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to have you. Who would like to share on this paragraph? Hello?
Dawn B.
Good morning, Dawn.
Cheryl S.
Cheryl, was
Kelly
that Cheryl?
Kelly H. E. and Israel.
Roz
okay,
G.
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, everybody. All right. I got Dawn B. And then who was next after Dawn?
Cheryl.
Cheryl?
S.
Ah, I yeah. thought it was. All right. And then I have a Kelly.
Kelly H.
I have
Yes.
H, okay, and then I have Roz G. Who else was in there?
Deb E.
Deb E.
Barbara A.
Yeah.
Barbara A. Okay. So I have Dawn B. Cheryl, I forgot your last initial, but I'll catch it. Kelly H, Roz G, Deb E, Barbara A. Anyone else?
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Okay, we'll stop there with Robin P. All right. So first up is Dawn B., followed by Cheryl. I think it's Cheryl S. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. My name is Dawn B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And yes, this is a wonderful paragraph, wonderful reminder of how dark it gets before the dawn, and but how dark it gets before the relief, the recovery comes from what can only be had through these 12 steps. And it certainly got very, very dark for me. I was taken to the hospital after had to go in an ambulance after I collapsed on a walking trail and passed out and was vomiting up all that I had consumed, all these health diet foods I was consuming. I was on this diet that consisted of eating chocolate shakes, chocolate candy bar, you know, protein bar type things, and chocolate pudding. That was the diet food that I had ordered and gotten. And I was consuming, of course, in, compulsive overeating fashion. And I also had, you know, stashes of M&Ms and other junk food in my closet. And so on the walking trail, I was vomiting all this up. And I completely was passed out. My mom thought I was choking. She tried to get the tongue out. She thought I was choking on my tongue, and I almost bit her fingers off. And the ambulance had to come, and I was covered in this. I had vomited all this chocolate all over myself and like this, pool around me on the walking trail. And once I was in the ambulance, I made sure, I asked if my mother was there, and they said no. And I said, "It's the sugar." I screamed out, "I am addicted to sugar." And they took me to the hospital, and it was just a horrific experience. But did that experience, make me quit? No, it did not. I went on to eat again and again, and it just got darker and darker. My roommates at one point did an intervention on me, and it was just, but I kept on eating. And I'm just so glad for this reminder of the insanity. And I never want to go back there. I never want to go back there. And when we put down the food and keep it down, yes, it is hell in the beginning, but it's the shortest amount of hell that we need to go through. And if we keep the food down, we clearly identify our alcoholic foods and keep it down, then that is not for nothing. And so it's the shortest amount of hell if we stay the course and don't pick it up. And it gets easier and easier and easier. But if we pick up the food, then the rest of our lives are hell. And it continues to be this torture. But if we stay the course, it gets easier. And now in recovery for many years, and I'm just so grateful for this program. This really works. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you very much, Dawn B. from California. Up next is Cheryl S., is followed by Kelly H. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service, and welcome to all the newcomers and anybody who has been in relapse and has come back. My name is Cheryl S. I'm from Nevada, and I am gratefully recovered for today, but not cured. And I think that this paragraph just reminds me of how many times I thought I had hit bottom and thought it just, this has to be it. It can't get any worse than this. And, I couldn't bend over and tie my shoes if I tried to bend over. The gorge in my stomach was like up in my throat. And I was not 100 pounds overweight. I was more like 50 to 60 pounds overweight. And, so everybody's body size when they hit their bottom, it can be different. They can be underweight, they can be slightly overweight, they can be grossly overweight, moderately overweight. It doesn't matter, because it's that soul sickness inside of us, that at least inside of me, that just made me feel so demoralized and hopeless and disgusted and desperate. I felt so desperate. I can, I just remember getting on the scale, and it just kept going up and up and up. And it's such a conundrum, going back and forth to the kitchen, from the living room to the kitchen, saying, "Don't do this, don't do this," and doing it anyway. Just knowing what to do and not knowing what to do all in the same time. Talk about a mass of just living in a total state of confusion. But even though it's going to be a while before Bill hits his true bottom and starts climbing his way out, I think the message that I want to share this morning is that moment is out there for everybody and anybody. I was a chronic relapser, and you know, I'd get a little bit of time and then I didn't want to do it anymore. That was the bottom line. I just didn't want to do it. I'd think, well, I could just be sad and live sad. That's fine. But I couldn't. And the reason I couldn't was not because I couldn't stand the fat on my body, although that was a big part of it. I couldn't stand the agony in my soul. You know, I didn't want to get undressed in front of my husband. I'd go in my closet and I had no clothes to pick from. I wore the same thing every day. It just darkened. It turned my Technicolor life into black and white. All of a sudden, thank you, higher power just swoops in and gives us the hope and the power that we need to get out of this disease. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh. Thank you very much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Up next is Kelly H., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. From North Carolina. Definitely a compulsive overeater. This paragraph is blowing me away because I needed to kind of catch up on a couple of meetings that I hadn't done. This meeting, this paragraph is very much tongue and grooved with Sunday special edition, which I listened to yesterday in recording about the grizzly bears. That's great. If anyone hears that, it's worth going back to hear. But regarding this paragraph, regarding self-knowledge and just the mortification of realizing it was not the answer, the hopelessness of feeling like you have the answer and it's like you're in it 3 to 4 months, like that's like amazing. I'm coming out of a relapse season that's lasted me for about 2 years. A lot of starts, a lot of stops. Last week I was visiting my family in Southern California. And so I was on this 10 o'clock call a lot, as it was 7 o'clock there. And having a front row seat, my dad is in the process of dying from esophageal cancer. And my mom is a large, large woman. And while I can't tell if somebody else is a compulsive overeater, I have a lot of the similar kinds of patterns that my mom has had. I've been in this program, and for me, I've realized I'm a compulsive overeater. But I watched my mom deal with the stress of my dad. And she's the largest I've ever seen her. I've watched my sister who lives with them, who is not as snarky as I once thought she was. I think she's just stressed because if my mom falls, my sister is helpless and cannot lift her. My dad is too weak to be helpful to my mom, and my mom can't do anything. This call isn't about my mom as much as me realizing that while my mom says that she now weighs 320 pounds, and she's in her late 70s, I'm 52 and I weigh 240 pounds. I see what's coming. And I can pray the set-aside prayer, and I get it. I really don't know what my life will entail, but just for today, I'm going to stay faithful. Self-knowledge is not going to help me in this program. And that's with that, I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Kelly H., for that share. Roz G., followed by Deb E. Good morning, Roz. Roz, press star one. Good morning, Roz. Are you there?
Oh, I see. My phone was double. My iPhone was on mute.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm talking away.
Too.
And you're like, Roz? Well, hello, everybody. This is Roz. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I apologize for that. This is about hitting a bottom, man. And I've hit a lot of bottoms. A couple that stick out to me are sitting at the edge of my bed when my daughters were young. My son wasn't even born yet, and I was sitting on the edge of my bed lamenting my weight gain and how big I was and how I couldn't do anything about it. And I felt like I wanted to die. I thought, well, if I commit suicide, my daughters won't have a mother, and they'll have this father that is not much better than me, and I can't do that to them. So that was my reason for living, so that I wouldn't, you know, leave my daughters. You know, that's a pretty sad way to think, because I couldn't lose weight, I might as well die. That's a very sad thought process. And none of the diets worked. You know, I'm not going to talk about how the diets didn't work today, because we all know that. Of course, I went on diets off and on, and, you know, hit other bottoms of having terrible digestive problems and waking up in the middle of the night not being able to breathe because I didn't, you know, I ate too late to allow my food to digest, and my body was just, you know, rejecting it. And today I'm recovered from compulsive overeating. I think about food, but not as much as I used to. I have a normal size body, and I'm very grateful for that. But I have to deal with emotions. Overeating was the solution to my emotions, my emotional buildup. And now I don't use compulsive overeating. And so I have to use the tools of the steps. And when I have an emotional flare-up or a binge emotional hangover, it's really awful. And so I can hit bottoms with my emotions as well. So I have to really work this program like my hair is on fire. I have to sponsor people every day. Or if I'm not, you know, if it just doesn't work out and a sponsee and I don't have time to talk, I listen, I'm on meetings, I'm praying and meditating. I'm asking God to remove my emotions, help me to treat others like I would like to be treated. Those kinds of prayers help a lot. So thank God today I have a program and you all, these meetings, to help me to get through every day joyfully. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Roz G. Glad you found the unmute button. Up next is Deb E., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, Mo. This is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. Happy to be on the line. So my mind just keeps going back to the same thing. As I think about this paragraph, it's not going to, like, my bottom with food, even though I did have, you know, I did have that experience that's talked about in this paragraph where I kept thinking, like, this had to be it. I couldn't possibly go back to the food again, and I kept going back. But what stands out the most in my head, and rereading the second sentence, I see that it's right here. It says the curve of my declining moral and bodily health. So my declining moral health for me at this point in my recovery is what stands out as my lowest bottom, because it highlighted all the character defects that were at play that I was clueless about. You know, all I saw was the food, and I had no idea that there was more to it than the food. I just thought I had a problem with food, and I just couldn't get a grip on it, and I couldn't control it, and I was going crazy. But I had no idea that what was behind it was, you know, control and fear and self-righteousness and self-centeredness and selfishness. I didn't know any of that stuff. And so my lowest point, which did not get me to recovery, there were several more years of binging after that, but the point that I think of as my lowest is when, you know, I just completely let go of everything I believed in. Like the little bit I had, you know, the little bit that kept me going. And I think I've been keeping a journal since I was 8 years old, and that's 42 years. And a few years ago, I reread my journals from like 8 years old until my mid-20s. And then there's a couple of years missing there, unfortunately, because those were like the bottom of the bottom. And then I just stopped writing for a couple of years. And but I realized that I didn't realize how much writing was helping me, that it was helping me sort out some emotions that I had no name for, that I couldn't connect to, but there was something in the writing, I think, that and I think it was my higher power watching over me and a lot of my writing and rereading it as an adult. And as someone like, you know, with a lot of years of having done this work, to me it was like a call for help to my older self to be able to make sense of it all. And I can see it quite clearly now. In another 10 years, I'll probably see it even more clearly, but I can see how that bottom, like, I don't even think about the food anymore at this point. I think about all the actions and all the harm to myself and the people around me that was all being kind of disguised by the food. And I will pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Debbie. And before I take Barbara A., let me remind those of you getting on the line here now, we're on page 7 in Bill's story. We're the third paragraph down, but it was not, and it ends with to the undertaker or the asylum. And we're just reading that one paragraph only. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Thank you so much for moderating the meeting. So grateful to be here. I am a compulsive overeater in recovery by the grace of God. I have not shared for a while. I listen to the meetings nearly every morning, but I've noticed that I've been preoccupied and drifting away. And yesterday I was walking and I got an email and fear just gripped me. All of a sudden I felt responsible. I had to take care of this email. I had to do something about it. And I could feel the terror of having to do this alone and what would happen, and my security was challenged. And I stopped and I turned to God and I said, God, just take this fear away. Mm-hmm. Never in my program have I done that in the past years. This past year of working the program, of coming to meetings, working with my sponsor, working with a sponsee, I have learned I am not the smartest person in the room. I have to hand things over. I am a very self-sufficient person. I can do things. I am strong. But when it comes to food, I am weak. I love Bill's story. It reminds me exactly what kind of a person I am. I relate so much to what Bill's actions and his behaviors. And learning that I can turn this over. I have the meetings. I have all of you that I can reach out to. I can discuss. I listen to these meetings and I hear the answers. Stop fighting everyone and everything. Take it easy. The serenity prayer. My mind, I've heard it so many times, just goes 100 miles an hour. I want to fix everything. I want to do everything right. I don't want to be left behind. All that stuff, all that fear of missing out. This calmness of working this program, putting down the food, I hear it all the time. It wasn't the food. It was my behavior that drove me to the food, my fear, my overcoming fear. Today, I pray for courage. I pray for fear not to freeze me, to be able to move forward. so appreciative of everyone who makes this meeting possible and for doing service and allowing me to come and share and be a part of it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara A. And after Robin P., I am going to take another lineup of people. And but let's have Robin P. first. Good morning, Robin.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, this is just hitting bottom the way, you know, I hit bottom. And just wanting it to be the last time and just being so burnt out and tired of being tired and so burnt out of Russian roulette and never knowing when I would just all of a sudden find myself head down in the food and head in the bowl and just so surprised. How did I get here? How did this happen? And that mental obsession combined with that physical allergy. I think someone's unmuted if you just press star one to remute. It's such a relief to not be in there and to have a solution today. And, you know, he went through so many years of hell and so did I. And it's such a blessing and to know that self-knowledge avails me nothing. And all of these things that I thought would work didn't work. And for me, it's reaching up and reaching out every day. And, you know, when I have a mental obsession about something, I have a solution today. And so there are no more surprises. Like, how did I get here? Thank God. You know, one day at a time for several years, for 8 years. And by God's grace and mercy, you know, I don't get surprised. How did I get back in the food? So one day at a time by God's grace and mercy. And I'm so grateful for vision. Oh, my gosh, I'm eternally grateful for vision. I love you all. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. And I'll remind everybody where we are, where we are at. We're on page 7 in Bill's story, the third paragraph down. And it begins with, but it was not, and it ends with, over to the undertaker or the asylum. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 weekdays, that is, I'll take your name. Who would like to share?
Annabelle Z.
Jeff A.
Annabelle Z. Who was the gentleman?
Jeff A.
Jeff A. I got you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica M.
Jessica M.
Gary B.
Gary. Oh, Harry. Harry?
Yes.
Harry B. Gotcha, Harry. First, I thought it was Gary, but no, it's Harry. I have Annabelle Z, Jeff A, Jessica M, and Harry B. Anybody else want to get into this lineup? Okay. Will everybody mute except Annabelle Z? Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for moderating this morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Everett, Washington. And, you know, I just haven't shared a long time on this meeting. And I recently got, very recently got a new sponsor. And she encouraged me to share at least once a week on the meeting. Because I'm on the meeting every day, just about. And so this, you know, this takes me back to, I was thinking, well, you know, I've had some relapses in those 3.5 years I've been in program. But at the same time, I had one really horrible bout on when I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm absolutely done. I this is horror, you know. And each time I picked up after, you know, there's obviously a reason each time I, you know, lost my spiritual connection and then it was kind of became mental and then emotional and then next thing I knew I was eating. But each time it taught me that it was like proof, you know, a lot of people say, let the food be the proof or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, it was proof that, right, remember, do you remember now? And it's interesting with each each time I've gone out like three times. Once it was first for quite a while, I just couldn't get abstinent again. And this last time it was just that I just reset my abstinence because I had to just get back on track to eating the way I normally eat when I'm abstinent. After going through a medical time where I couldn't eat at all, my abstinence, it was just like a mess and just trying to survive. And so I'm brought back to that knowledge of I have a disease and it won't, that mental obsession that I have is curable. It's treatable. It's absolutely put in remission when I have a good connection with God, with my fellows, and I'm picking up the tools and I'm doing the things it takes to continue that relationship, to grow it. I was thinking lately too that the 10th and 11th and 12 steps that I never stopped doing, a lot of people used to say, at least in the other program I'm in, is, they're the maintenance steps. And I have to talk about a lot lately, like, I don't want to maintain where I'm at. I want to grow. And so I prefer to call them the growth steps because I need to continue to grow. So that's all I wanted to share this morning. Thanks for your service. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Annabelle Z. Up next is Jeff A., followed by Jessica M. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, my name's Jeff A. I'm in a place now where I'm over 1 year sober. I have two different addictions. The other one's been many years, but and I'm the compulsive food behaviors are, I do it one meal at a time. And I don't have to have the food's not a problem anymore. The problem, though, for me is the stormy emotions. I get angry all throughout the day, and I have a good program. I call people. I read in the morning. I pray. Et cetera, but recently my higher power told me I gotta have more people. It's about a month ago, told me that I needed to have more people who have at least 1 year sobriety, who have gone through the program, and I didn't want that. I have a few friends that are over 1 year sobriety, but I have a lot of people, I try and help people who are new in the program. He's like, yeah, you need to find some people who have more sobriety than you have. So I decided just, okay, I'll do it. Now I'm starting to have, my wife and I are doing counseling together, really, truly. And it's after 2 weeks, I want to go away and not do counseling. I wanted her to work with me and she wasn't, but now she's willing and now I want to run away. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I now understand, at least in part, God has more to tell me about it, that I need to talk with people 3 times a day who have several years of sobriety. Even yesterday, I talked with someone who was 3 months sober or something, and I realize it's very different than someone who's gone through the program and is in recovery. And so I called someone else the next, right, an hour later. So anyways, thanks.
Can I be heard now? Okay.
Yes, Mo, we can hear you. Oh, okay. Mo, you just muted yourself.
Oh,
Mo?
Am I?
There you are.
We hear you, Mo.
You're good, Mo.
Okay. All right, thanks. All right, I see. Okay. Up next is Jessica M., followed by Harry B. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for being on the meeting. My name is Jessica. I'm a compulsive overeater in Michigan. What really jumped out at me in this reading was the, but it was not, you know, after referencing self-knowledge. And that kind of set up for me just the thought about what it was like both before I came into program 18 years ago and then what it was like most recently when I was coming out of a multi-year relapse. Just trying so many different things and then, you know, getting to the end of that idea for how to solve this problem and thinking like, oh, nope, that wasn't the solution. You know, nope, I'm heavier than I ever was. You know, I remember, you know, before I came into program initially, you know, making these resolutions to myself, you know, similar to what Bill talks about here, like, boy, I'm never going to let it get to this bad. I'm never going to let myself get to 200, to 250, to 300, you know, and I hit all those marks and kept eating. And, you know, it wasn't for lack of trying, you know, I was trying more and more things and more diets, but it just, they didn't work. And I think the point of departure for me that got me into OA was when I finally realized, you know, that I just didn't have it in me to do another diet. You know, there's always this kind of false hope that comes along with some of these proposed other solutions. You know, this false hope that this time, you know, this time it'll be different. This time I'll get it. You know, something magical is going to happen this time. I don't know why, but, you know, something magical is going to happen. And I think so much of what I'm finding in program and working the steps and having a close and strong connection with God is that I learn what real hope looks like. You know, and I learn what real independence and real freedom looks like. And I learn what the real Jessica looks like, you know, what that really is. When I'm, you know, in the food and those times I've been in the food, you know, I have these mirages that I follow and these things that I think are real are going to give me what I want. But they're fake and they're false. And they never give me what I want. You know, they wind up taking more from me than I ever put into them. Whereas my relationship with God is exactly the opposite. He winds up giving me more, more and more and more, even the little that I give him, the comparatively little that I give him. All I have to do is take, you know, one tiny step towards him and he comes rushing towards me to help me and to give me, you know, everything that I need, as long as I'm willing, you know, as long as I'm willing to do the steps, to do the work, you know, and to do whatever it takes, you know, I can get that. And then, you know, all these scary consequences and things that used to really loom large in my mind, you know, they kind of fade away, just like the food obsession fades away, you know, and it's mercifully is faded away from me. And I'm really grateful for that. So yeah, I'm very grateful for program and for this reading to just remind me, you know, what the solution really is. And it isn't my self-knowledge or any of my own willpower doing program under my own power. That's not it. It's doing everything, you know, under God's power and under God's wing. Thanks. I'll pass.
And thank you, Jessica M. Harry B., I only have about a minute and a half for you. Can you take that? Press star one to unmute.
That's fine. I'll just be quick. Yeah, I'm not here to celebrate any successes or anything, or I'm not here to say how great this program is and how I'm doing great on it. I'm still relatively new on it. I'm crashing and burning, and I'm just traveling across the country right now, driving from Los Angeles to Michigan. And as you know, like when you're on the road, you have temptations and gas station food. I'm just succumbing to, I don't know. I mean, this is the dark side when you're in that dark spiral, like when you're contemplating suicide and just want to like go to a stupid grocery store and you go and you start eating donuts for no reason because you're so angry at yourself. And that's what I did yesterday. And I'm just telling you that I'm drowning and I don't know. And then I don't know whether I believe in God or not. And I'm reaching out. So anyway, I'm just failing at this whole thing. And I know I'm using food as a crutch and I'm so angry at my situation right now. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, thank you very much, Harry B. Stay with us. And thank you all for your shares today and for all those who gave service. And I will now ask Dawn B. to read page 164 of Vision for You.
Yes, this is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. And we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.